Welcome everyone to Every Nation Church Good Friday Service 2026. You know, I was thinking about this service and thinking about what Good Friday is. I know that we a lot of times we do a muted, you know, kind of service. We turn the lights down, all that kind of stuff. Well, thankfully, we know that the good news of the gospel is that Sunday has come. Amen. So we use Good Friday, obviously, as a reminder, you know, to bring us into that space where it was dark and it was lonely and, you know, the Son was separated from the Father. And that was for you and me, and he did that willingly. Amen? Remember that he did that willingly. No one took his life. He gave it willingly for us. Amen? Awesome. All right, well, we're going to start with, this is actually not a hymn, believe it or not, but it's a beautiful song. Well, I guess it's a hymn in the style, but it was actually written in 1995. I don't know if that surprises anybody. It surprised me. I thought it was from the 1800s. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Let's sing that one more time. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, that his wounds have paid my ransom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This time we're going to have Pastor Sonia Clemens come up and give us the word.
Don't clap for me, but clap for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And good afternoon. So I had a conversation on this week, and someone asked me the question. They said, are you Christian? And I always take that with a grain of salt. Now, I know some of you all may not quite understand why that is so, but there's so many definitions, so many different perceptions, so many different approaches nowadays that I do what I call a discount double check. So I need to check in and understand where you're coming from when you ask me the question so that I can make sure I give you the answer that you require at the time. He says, so you celebrate Easter, but you a Christian? He said, I heard some other things about Easter that don't necessarily align with Christianity. And I said, well, let me help you just a little bit. What I can tell you is I believe Jesus. Yes. Now, if you define that as Christianity, then I'll take that. If there's another definition, I don't know anything about that one. I said, what I can tell you about this time is that we celebrate the resurrection. Yes. And whether it's this day or any other day, it's because of Jesus that we pause to consider what's happening and what's going on. And if you don't know what he did at the cross, then I have time to tell you. And so the person said to me, well, you know, we may have to have that conversation another day. And I said, well, I understand. But any day you want to talk about that part, I'm here for it. Amen? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I rise, give honor to God, to his son Jesus, to the precious Holy Ghost, to the pastors, the angels of this house and their wives, and to all of you that have taken time to be with us on today. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. We thank you for Good Friday. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross, God, and we thank you that you allowed us to be a part of it. God, we thank you that you made room on the cross for us and that grace still extends to us and to our generations, God. God, we ask that you decrease me and increase you, that everything that goes forth brings you glory and gives you praise. In Jesus' name, we say thank God. Amen. So Pastor Stone called me. Well, he texted me. And I read the text, and I paused. I'm going to tell on myself. I can't testify about you, but I can tell about myself. And I paused. And I said, that looks like Good Friday. Maybe I didn't read it right. I wear glasses. I clean them sometimes. I said, let me double check. I said, that is Good Friday. I said, you want me to do what for Good Friday, Pastor? I mean, let me pray about it. So I didn't answer. I didn't answer right away. So I had to pray about it and call him back the next day. And then I said, well, God, what can I say about Good Friday? Because I'm not qualified to talk about your son, to reflect on the works of the cross, to understand what Calvary means. I'm not qualified. And God said, I don't have to be, because if I let him do it, he can make it all work together. So I said, will you give me a word for your people, God? And what he told me is the blood still works. And I said, well, I believe that with my whole heart, with everything in me, and I'm grateful for the blood on Calvary. And so we're starting in Hebrews. Y'all pray for myself and Pastor Matuzo. We're going to work together and try to figure out these slides. If it goes south, y'all forgive me later, all right? Oh, I can click too? Okay, all right. Here we go. So now he's going to say I'm messing it up by myself. I see how you set me up. That's a setup. Pastor, he gave you a pass. All right. So Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So when we think about the cross, oftentimes, there's so many things that happened on the road, on the way, on that day. But one of the most important pieces that we have to pull out is that not only did Jesus give himself willingly, but the willing blood that he gave is what was shed. And why that's important is because there was a previous precedent set all the way back in Genesis. If you go back to Adam and Eve and all the things that happened on their way out of the garden, God had to do some things to make the sin right, to cover it. And so he killed an animal, he clothed Adam and Eve, and he started the process of sacrifices for forgiveness. So when we get down to Hebrews in the New Testament, it's reminding us that if it hadn't happened, we wouldn't be here. Yeah. There's no you, there's no I, because we wouldn't have the chance or opportunity for redemption, salvation, or heaven. So when we look at the shedding of blood, and we're reminded in Hebrews, and we look at the cross, we understand that there are several things happening. One is that we're being confronted with our own sin. And I know some of y'all say, well, you know, I didn't really do anything but slap my brother upside the head. Okay. Y'all don't tell my brother, but that is sin indeed, right? Because sin is anything that we think, say, or do that doesn't please God, anything that doesn't align with him and his word, that is in fact sin. And so when we look at the cross, we're confronted with our sin, the sin of humanity, the sin that Jesus came down and decided to take the human form in order to walk through the process to deal with it on our behalf. The second thing that we understand at the cross is that there's justice. So y'all hear a lot about social justice advocates and advocacy and people that take up the cause for the poor, for the needy, right? For those who may have or experience less. Well, that's what Jesus did at the cross. He became an advocate for us to the Father, right? So he gets to the cross. He decides to willingly give himself to shed his blood and to die because he says, Father, they're worthy of redemption. And I want them to have the opportunity. But then we see love. And I know sometimes we talk about love and everyone talks about John 3:16, right? As our Sunday school verse, you know, from way, way, way back. And we say, for God so loved the world. But I realized that we gloss over it a lot of times. That a lot of times we go right past there really fast and do a drive-by. They say, well, what's the scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And when we go through there so quickly, we miss the fact that in order for us to get to God, we had to go by way of the cross. And so we see God's divine love. So we see that the blood that's being shed and given is speaking, and is healing, and is delivering, and is replacing, and all of that is happening on the cross. And then we understand that Jesus went through a process in order to redeem us, my Lord, today. And so there are some things that happened along the way. So we know that he came to earth, and in order for him to be the sacrifice, the Bible says that he that knew no sin became, right? So he came down to earth in human form so that we could understand how to walk this thing out, so that we would have the example of what it really means to be saved in the earth experience. Can I say it like that? So the first thing that happens is he comes down and he's born in the lowest place of the low. Now, there are some terms that you all probably don't use when people refer to places where people don't want to be and don't want to live. There are some signs when you get into neighborhoods that you think you don't belong in. Jesus came to earth in a manger because there was no room, because there was no other place. And this was a last resort that was available. The innkeeper said, listen, I don't have any room. He said, well, I do have a manger. But what we forget is when he gets to the manger, though, that there were animals there already. So that means that not only did you get a manger, but you had to clean a space to be in to be there. All of the Clorox in my house is contrary to that truth right now. I just want you to know that. However, the next thing that happens is that as he begins to grow, he immediately starts the process of being trained for ministry, and he receives an acceleration, but he's still human. Because remember, at 12, he was in the temple, and they lost him. And he said, I don't know what y'all worried about. I've got to be about my Father's business. I've got a job to do. There's something that has to happen. Because he started from the manger looking at the cross, and we didn't get there until after he got done with all the years of ministry. But he started from the beginning knowing that he had to go to the cross in order to provide redemption for us. And so he spent the time, and we got caught up. I don't know about you, I can talk about myself, but as you read the word, you get caught up because you start looking at miracles. So you see blind people seeing and lame people walking, and you see deaf people hearing, and then you begin to understand that people cry out for him, and you stop by the woman with the issue of blood, and he talks to the woman at the well, and he shows you that all along the way, there is nobody that can't be redeemed. That along the way, that there is an opportunity for anybody that chooses Jesus to see God and see glory. And then he raises the dead. Because they came and told him, if you really cared, you would have been here anyway. In other words, as my young people would say, they said, who gonna check me? You wasn't here. My brother died. And Jesus said, au contraire. Au contraire. And then he told Lazarus to come forth, and he did. He raised the dead, and they saw the dead walk among them as living again and healed. Healed, delivered, free, and living. And so when you start to think about all that, you forget about the fact that he was still marching in one direction, and that direction led to the cross. It's hard to think about the brutality of the cross when you think about all of the miracles, when you think about the blind man crying out to Jesus, when you think about him calling Zacchaeus and saying, listen, I know the people don't even want to touch you. Now, y'all know he was a bill collector. Y'all understand how bill collectors work. You don't want to answer the phone sometimes. Sometimes you don't want to open mail because bill collectors start sending you stuff. Zacchaeus was a tax collector and a bill collector. He was nobody's friend, and nobody wanted to be seen with him. And if he was coming by your house, it wasn't good, okay? And so Jesus stopped and even talked to him. And said, I'm going to his house, because he wanted to show us that I'm not dying for the good, for the elite, for the perfect, for the right neighborhood and the good schools, right? I'm not dying for Ivy League education, but I'm dying for sin-sick souls. And no soul needs to be left behind. So as he continues in his ministry, he comes to the place where he realizes that this journey is almost done. Now, it's a different place when you get to the moment when your journey is almost done. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. You see, I understood that before Dwayne left us, that he had actually been dying for the last 90 days. So hospice was at the house, and they gave me this book of information. And in that information, I didn't have time to read it because everything happened so fast. It was so fast. It was so fast. But in the days to come, I like information. I like to learn. I like research. And I sat down and said, I have to understand what just happened. God, what just happened? And as I opened the books and began to read the information, I got a whole new revelation on the process of dying. And what I begin to understand is that the acceleration that he had in May before his birthday was because he was already in the process. That I began to understand that when he started to run, because I said, wait a minute, you going to do what? Because we couldn't even turn around. There was no time. When I tell you he wouldn't sit down, he wouldn't stand up, he wouldn't be still, he couldn't stop moving, he wouldn't stop scheduling stuff. When I tell you he scheduled 5 things in one day, and I was like, sir, I'm going to need you to sit down because we're trying to work on healing. But he already had a different revelation. And so when you get into the process of dying, it looks different. And you can't explain that to other people because they won't go with you. And so Jesus gets to the last week leading up to the cross. And let me tell you something. God knows what we can handle, and he knows what we're not ready for, and I thank him for it. I give him glory for it. He understands who we are. Jeremiah said he knew me before he formed me in my mother's womb. So he knows how I'm made, down to the number of hairs on my head. So when Jesus gets to the last week, here is how it went down. The first thing that happens is Palm Sunday. So Pastor Stone walked us through Palm Sunday last week. Now you tell me how you can go from people loving you and praising you and glorifying God for you and making room for you and treating you like kings and queens till they won't even call your name or look you in your face, and then they got the audacity to put you on a cross. So he goes from Palm Sunday with the triumphal entry, and all the people around are cheering, right? It's like you in the big house. I know you know what that looks like. You in the big house, and when you're in the big house, it has a different sound, y'all, right? And everybody's on the same page, and even if you don't love Michigan, you better love them when you get in their house, because it just moves different in there. So when he comes into the city for the triumphal entry on a donkey, and the palm fronds are waving and the people are shouting and all you hear is Hosanna, you feel mighty fine. Have you ever had anybody cheer for you? Don't you feel good when people cheer for you? You feel really good. And then as he goes through the week, still marching toward the cross. See, they're looking at Palm Sunday and thanking God for the arrival of Jesus. And he's looking at it saying, I've got a few more days. I got a few more days, a few more steps until I can complete this journey. So he goes from Palm Sunday to what they call Maundy Thursday. Now, here's what's tight about Maundy Thursday, because y'all pray for me. I need to get a few more levels in my salvation. Because Jesus sat at a table with people that he already knew didn't like him. He already knew that they were betraying him. He already knew that they had talked about him, lied on him, dog walked him, okay? And yet he sat at the table and served them. And then he did it with a good attitude and the right mind and the right spirit. And then, even as he served them, he said, yeah, I know what you're about to do. I know what's going to happen. So what you do, go ahead, hurry up and do it. Do it quickly. That's what the Bible said. The Bible says he told them, do it quickly. Hurry up. Go ahead and handle it. And then, what we really miss sometimes is that that was an opportunity to pause and reflect on what you had just done. What he really did was give him another opportunity, because there's no one that's unworthy of redemption. What he really did was pause and say, listen, because he didn't call him out. Now, y'all know Peter was sitting at that same table. So if he had to call him out and told him what was about to go down, I just believe Peter wasn't going to have it. So he didn't tell the rest of the disciples what was happening, because he needed to deal with it delicately. But what he did was, when he served them, he said, listen, I know what you're about to do. Go ahead and do it quickly. And he gave him that moment of pause, because the Bible says that God will give you a way of escape. He'll give you a means to get out that you don't have to do. Even when you get to the very last moment, you still have the opportunity to choose something different. And so that's what he offered to Judas. And Judas left and went to go handle the business and do what he had always set out to do for just a few pieces of silver. My. So then he goes to the garden. Well, he washes their feet. He continues with the rest of the disciples. So he's still serving. Now, I don't know if I was looking at dying and looking at dying for people who don't even recognize who I am, who don't even understand the level of sacrifice that's happening right now, who don't understand what it means, not just for me to leave glory and come down here, because let me tell you something, he didn't have to do it, but he did, right? To leave glory, to come down here, to take on humanity and deal with all the stuff that we deal with in our bodies. And then watch the people betray you. And then look at the disciples that you know don't even have enough gumption, is the word they used to use. I know we have other words for it now, but they used to use the word gumption, confidence, right? To stand up and say that you're on my team, that you're on my tribe, that you are with me. So he washed the disciples' feet, even as he knew that they too were going to have to make some choices in just a few minutes. He goes to the garden. And when he gets to the garden, all he wants to do is pray. Now, this is where it gets really tight. Because this is where you get a glimpse into the humanity that Jesus has taken on. Because sometimes people say, well, he was God, so how could he be human? Well, if you go back to the garden, you understand humanity showed up several times. Because in the garden, he's praying and he's talking to God and he's considering, but remember that he's been walking the entire time and all he's looking at is the cross. So when he gets to the garden, he's still not thinking about all the things that are going on. He's not thinking about the fact that these people are out here lying on him, that Judas has already sold them off, that these people are going to deny him in just a few minutes. He's still looking at the cross. And as he's looking at the cross, he's like, hold up. I know what we talked about. I know what happened. I know what was said. But this? Because the weight continues to press down. And God lets him know, hey, that's what you got to do. And he continues on. Now, when Judas comes in, Peter chops off an ear, because Peter, can I say it like my young people say it, is about it, y'all. So Peter said, what you're not going to do is come in here and take my Jesus. This is my friend. This is my master, my Lord, my Savior. And you're not going to come in here on my watch. Okay, and do whatever this foolishness is. It's not going to happen. And you're not going to say that I sat back and allowed this to happen, because I said that I was on Jesus's team, and I'm going to show you that I am. So he chops off a man's ear, and Jesus heals him even as this arrest is going down. And then they continue to move forward, knowing that the same Peter that just was ready to fight is the same Peter that's about to deny him three times. But see, here's the good thing about God, and this is why it's a good Friday, because even at our lowest, he understands our best. Because when you're standing there looking at the cock crow, Because the rooster crows more than once, y'all, right? And he crows louder each time because he wants people to know that he's doing his job. So when he tells Peter, hey, you're going to deny me three times, when Peter denies him, a lot of times we judge Peter because we're like, how could you? You were there the whole time. You were there when the bread was broken. You were there when the blind people saw. You were there when the lame people got up, took up their beds, and walked. You were there when you were the one that walked on water. How you going to tell them you don't know who he is? He just saved your whole life on more than one occasion. So it's easy to judge Peter and say, well, you know, can't be like Peter. But Jesus had already warned Peter. It's the same thing that God does for us. Because Jesus had already told Peter, he said, listen, when you really get saved, he said, when you are converted, he said, listen, I know you think you know right now, but when you come into the full revelation, I want you to go forth and strengthen the brethren, because he understood that the same energy that he had that was a fight, the same energy that he had that brought that defense, the same energy that he had that caused that quick response is the energy that you were going to need to battle for the kingdom. He understood that same energy that you use in the world, you were going to need to turn that around and use it on the demons that believe also and tremble. That you are going to have to come into the kingdom and apply those principles in a more godly fashion that people might be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. So when Jesus looked at Peter, he doesn't talk about all the stuff that happened when he denied him. He talks about the possibility and the probabilities that if you surrender all, this is what God can and will do in your life for you, for the benefit of the kingdom, for the glory of God, to move us forward to get to the next place. So then what happens? So when we get to Good Friday, it's a tight fight, because now some people have some things to prove, and you have to be careful with people who have vendettas and who are dealing in vengeance and who seek revenge. That's why the Bible tells us about forgiveness, right? Because it wasn't enough to have him arrested. They wanted him eradicated. See, these are two different things. You can dislike somebody and do some stuff, but it's a whole nother thing to try to erase them from the face of the earth. You understand? They wanted to eradicate him. They wanted to cancel the assignment. They wanted to cease all of the work and the knowledge of God and the saving grace. They wanted people to go back into bondage and follow the system that they were in charge of. And so they drug him. And it wasn't just because they wanted Jesus to be condemned, but what they were really doing is making a public spectacle of him. Have you ever had somebody that doesn't like you? They just don't like you. So every time you turn around, they're talking about you. Every time you meet somebody new, they said something about you. Every time you look at them, your face changes. Right? Oh, y'all saved. I know y'all never had that happen to y'all. I understand. I'm the only one that got delivered. It's all right. I don't mind. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. So they drugged him. They dragged him judgment hall to judgment hall, place to place, because what they were doing was going to every place in every area that they could get into to let people know, not this one. Yeah, he ain't no good. Let me tell y'all what he did. Let me tell you how he's about to be punished. Let me show you what's going to happen. This is what you believe in? Yeah, keep believing, because he's going to the cross. Now, even when the Roman governors who did not believe, because they were not believers at the time, Pilate and Caesar were not believers, but even they didn't want to touch this. They didn't want to have any parts of it. See, because God continues to give you a way of escape. He continues to give you warning. He continues to show up in your situation, because no one is unworthy of redemption. So when they go to Pilate and Caesar and they're like, listen, this is really not my battle. You all go ahead and work that out, right? Because they thought they were being neutral and taking the easy way out. And then they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll give you a choice. So what they did was they thought they knew what the people would choose. Now here's the setup right here. They brought the biggest, baddest criminal you could find. So what does that really look like for us? They went and got the drug dealing mafia man that's got trafficking going on that you read about in the news that the FBI's had on a watch list for 50 years. The whole family's on the watch list now, right? They went and got him. So when you said his name, everybody knew who he was. They said, if we tell you to choose between Jesus or Barabbas, right, then we're safe because we gave you the choice, and surely no one would choose Barabbas. I mean, come on, guys, right? He sold drugs to babies. Nobody's choosing Barabbas. Yet and still, after making the choice, the people said, give us Barabbas. Not only did they say, give us Barabbas, but they started to chant it and to shout it and to tell everyone all around, give us Barabbas. And so they didn't have an opportunity or a choice now because they gave them the option. The people have chosen. They move forward. So that means that Jesus is still marching toward the cross. So what happens at the cross? My. Here's what happens at the cross. That in the process of dying, Jesus shows us how to live. Because even at the cross, we take away lessons. So the first thing that we see at the cross is that we begin to understand that we know that he bled, because we started out, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. If he didn't bleed, if his blood didn't come out on the cross, we couldn't be forgiven. But then we also understand that he paid our debt in full, that every drop of blood was a deposit that grace might extend to us for generations. That not one drop is wasted on us, on the world, on our earth experience, because he wants to make sure that you have the option and the choice. And he's saying, listen, I put before you life and death. You choose, it's your choice. But I've done all that I can to ensure that you have this choice. So the first thing that happens at the cross is that we see Jesus and he says, you know what, Father, forgive them. That's how I know I have a few more levels to go in my salvation. Because the first thing is that he looks at the people who are still mocking him. Now, mind you, he's been through judgment halls. He's been chosen over Barabbas. He's been beaten. He's been scourged. They got a crown of thorns on his head. They done made him try to carry his own cross. Now, these are the same people just 5 minutes ago was talking about, can you heal me? Can you help my children? Can you heal my babies? Can you increase my income? Can you save my mind, God? Now they're talking about kill him. Yeah. Crucify him. Yeah. He got to die now. And so as he's on the cross, the first thing that he does, though, and this is how God shows us how to live, because he says, forgive them. Yeah. Luke 23 and 34 says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. Because he wants to make sure, remember, that he started out this journey looking at the cross to provide redemption for a sin-sick world. So if nothing else is going down, forgiveness is happening at the cross. The second thing that you understand, that even as his blood is pouring out, he's praying to the Father, not only do you forgive them, but you receive them, God. Because, you know, sin separates us from God. So when you get into sin, it creates a block between you and God. Right? Sin separates us from the presence of God. And so it's important that Jesus died on the cross that he could be the intermediary. So he can be the person sitting on the right-hand side of God saying, look, God, go ahead and talk to Sonita today. I know her mind said do something different. But God, I died so she could have this opportunity. She's sorry again, okay? And if you would just listen, we can move her forward on her assignment. So the next thing that happens is that there are some people being crucified with him. So one thing you can say about Rome is they were very efficient about their money. They didn't waste time and money. So they didn't just crucify Jesus. They crucified two other people with him. But now the kicker is that the people on the side of Jesus were already guilty. They had been to court. They had been assigned a case. They had been given a judgment. They were sentenced to die. So they already knew they were going to die. They were just waiting on death row, if you will, for the day and the moment that it was going to come. And it came when Jesus was dying. So Jesus is on the cross. So not only did you crucify him, but you mocked him. Because the sign on the cross said, oh, he the king of the Jews. Look at your king now. How's that working out for you? But then they put him between two thieves. So they put him between two people that everybody recognized was guilty. Because they continue to mock him. So now, the one thief on the one side is like the rest of the crowd. What a time to be a member of the crowd, right? He's like, oh yeah, if you do it, go ahead, get me too. If you're escaping, let me know, I want in, right? But the guy on the other side is like, wait a minute, y'all don't know what y'all doing. He is dying on the cross, but he stops to recognize that he's dying with the Son of God. He's like, hold up, listen, I don't know about the rest of these people, but I can tell you about myself. And listen, God, don't forget about me. I know there's a lot going on. And so Jesus pauses and tells him, listen, today you're going to be with me. We're going to paradise. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is dying the entire time he's on the cross. This is brutal. This is a hardship. This is brutal, okay? There's nothing about the cross that you want for anybody. But in the middle of his dying, he does something else. He looks down, and he sees his mother. Now, I don't know about your mother, but I know that if my mother was watching me die, it would not be a calm, neutral experience. His mother is standing at the base of the cross, and Jesus is hurting, and he's got nails in his hands and his feet, y'all. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. He can't barely catch his breath, so he's doing a lot of talking for a person with no air in his lungs. And he stops and says, woman, behold your son. Because he said, I'm not leaving anything uncovered. The Bible says that when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. But he stops. He said, listen, you're the disciple that I love. This is my mother. And you had to love him to trust him with your mother. Okay? So he takes care of it. So even in his dying, he pauses to care for other people. Then he goes, and the sky darkens. And the veil in the temple is rent. And all these things begin to happen. And what happens here? Jesus takes on the sin of the world. And it separates us from God. And everybody in the earth at that time is a part of that experience as that sin descends at the cross. And he cries out to his Father, because he feels the disconnection. Now, you got to remember, the whole time he's going through this experience, he's been talking to God. When he was tempted, he talked to God. When he was in the garden, he talked to God. When he was going through the judgment halls and stuff, whatever y'all say, he's still good. But at this moment, he's separated, and the storyline changes. And when he comes out of that, the Bible says he comes back to remind you that even after all of these things, he's still human. So he says, I thirst. Because in humanity, you've been hanging out in the open sun, on a cross, you're losing blood, you're dehydrating, right? And he said, I thirst, I just want some water. And then they give him vinegar. Can you imagine vinegar on a hot, sunny day? And then he goes from thirsting to beginning to understand that, you know what? I paid the price. Paul said, I kept the faith. I finished my course. And he declares that it is finished, so it is paid in full. And so finally, to close everything out, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because that means that full cycle of redemption is being closed out. The sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. Calvary right here is completed. So now we've got to get to the next part. So there's nothing owed. We don't owe anything because it's paid in full. Have you ever received a bill that says paid in full? I'm waiting to be on the student loan list, y'all. So what does that mean? It means that if you don't know who Jesus is, that if you don't know him in the pardoning of your sins, that you don't have to wait another moment to do that. If there's anybody in this room that doesn't know who Jesus, that doesn't understand that the work on the cross was for me and for you, that it was to cover our little sins, our big sins, and all the things that came around us that could keep us from God, that all we have to do is admit that we have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then it says, but if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then it tells us all you got to do is open up your own mouth and call, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you don't know who Jesus is and you haven't accepted him into your heart as your personal Savior on today, there are people in this room to help you with that. I'm not going to ask you to come down. But if you want someone to come to you, raise your hand, they'll come to you. If you want to come down, the altar is open. It's not mine. It belongs to God. So it's always open, and you can come to the altar at any time. Amen? If you desire prayer, we're going to offer prayer at the closing of this service in just a few minutes. What you need to understand is that he chose the cross. They didn't give him the cross. He chose it for himself. And so now, as we look at the cross and the things that happened on Good Friday, bless you, we're reminded that, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Amen. So we are both forgiven, we can be redeemed, we can be restored, and we can do that because of the grace and everything that happened at the cross. So I'm going to ask you that if you don't have your communion, if you did not pick it up when you came in, please go ahead and grab your communion, because we're going to commune together. One of the things that we are asked to do, we are asked to do in remembrance of him. We are asked to not only remember the cross and the blood that was shed and the things that happened at the cross, we're asked to remember the journey so that we can understand the cost of our redemption. I'm grateful to God that I didn't have to pay it. And I'm even more grateful that he was willing to, and he did. Did everybody have an opportunity to receive their communion? If you are able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we commune together. I want to tell you a few quick things about communion. We don't take communion lightly. So if there's anything betwixt you and God, this is the time that you go ahead and get that right. You don't have to tell me, because it's none of my business. But what you do need to know, that if you take this unworthy, you're accountable to God, and with him, you will take that up. Amen? So if you need a minute to get that together, you help yourself and do whatever it is that you need to do so that we can all be right in communing together. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in Corinthians, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you, and you do this in remembrance of me. So now, if you open this and pull out this bread, the Bible says that he took the bread and he broke it. He broke it and he told them what it was for and what it meant and what it was supposed to do. And then he said, when you do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat it together. Amen. And then the Bible says, in the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen? Amen. Let us drink it together. Amen.
And I know it was the blood.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I know it was the blood.
Amen.
Oh, I know it was the blood for me.
Come on.
One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me.
I know it was the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that after they took communion, that they prayed, and then they went out, remembering all the things that had happened and why indeed we took communion together. Amen? So we're going to follow suit and pray. If you require prayer on today, the altar is open. You're welcome to come down. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to dismiss from this service. And we're going to remember why he died, why grace is extended to us, and what is available to us because he died. And then we're going to celebrate on Sunday because he died on Friday. But we take communion in remembrance because on Sunday we celebrate that he got up. Father God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this service. We thank you for every person that is present in this room. Father God, you already know every need. So you know them one by one and name by name. You know every request, every petition. God, you know every secret hurt, God. So Father, we ask you on today that you just touch, heal, deliver, and set free as it is your will and desire to do, God. Father, we thank you for the cross, God. We thank you for Jesus, who was willing to come down to shed his blood and die for us. We thank you for the opportunity to make a choice. We thank you, God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for every person, and we grant traveling grace and mercy to them on today as they leave from here and go to the desired destination. But most of all, we thank you for just being God. And so we say thank God and amen.
He's coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. He's coming back again for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me.
I'm going to do one more song here, just to, as a send out for you. So this is the song that Sunity requested for you guys. So it's too high.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
One more time.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Let this be our amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Thank you so much, Lord, for the things that you have done, Lord, and are yet to do and have done, Lord. We give you this service. We give you this time, God, and everyone go in peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.